Lord. Amen. This morning we want to get right into the book of the Psalms. Come on, let's do that. Get right into the book of the Psalms. And there's just such beautiful truth in that particular collection of books. And today we want to go to the 67th Psalm. Hallelujah. 67th Psalm. And look at verse 5 to 7. We've been in a little mini series, three parts, on building blocks of power. We said the first building block was purity. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Then we said the second building block was prayer, and now praise. And I really believe they have to come in that order. I believe that there has to be a life of purity in order to engage in a life of prayer, which will then produce praise on the earth, which will bring God's power in a life and to a region. And aren't you hungry for God's power? Amen. I'm hungry for God's manifest presence in my life. Psalm 67, look at verse 5. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Boy, do I like that scripture. Because he said, when God finds people on earth who will praise the Lord, the earth will give forth its increase. Meaning, there is increase all around us waiting to be had. Waiting to be released by somebody's praise. Then he said, I'm going to bless the people who praise me. And if you understand the word bless, it means empowered to prosper. So now praise becomes so important that it not only brings increase, but it brings the ability to prosper. So I want to be hooked up to a church that knows how to praise. I want to be hanging around people who have praise of God in their mouth and they've turned away and repented from all grumbling and complaining. Because our mouth was made to rule and reign, not to grumble and complain. Amen? God's given us a mouth that will instruct the earth, will release increase on the earth. And I believe today there is much increase. I believe we're sitting on one of the wealthiest deposits on the earth in the entire world. I believe it's like 100 years ago or whenever they found oil in the Middle East and it said it's going to change that whole region forever and the economy of the world, and it has. I believe there is a wealth of increase. There is so much that God has deposited in this region, and he's just looking for a people who will fill their mouths with the praise of God so the earth can release all of her increase. Hallelujah. I said, God, when I walk into the house of God, I want it to be electrified. I want it to be so full of the praises of God on the earth. I want it to be resounding with your glory. Because I know where the praise of God is, there will be increase. I like John 6, 11 and 12. It's the story of Jesus multiplying the loaves and the fishes. He took that little bit and he gave thanks to the Lord. And when he began to give thanks to God, he was praising God for what he had. And suddenly the increase that was in his praise got into the fish and got into the loaves. And suddenly that increase was manifested to the 5,000 people that were sitting there witnessing one man's thanksgiving, one man's praise. Can I challenge you today? What will your praise release on the earth? What will your thanksgiving to God cause to come forth on the earth? I've determined I'm going to be a praiser. I've determined I'm going to fill my mouth with the praises of God. I'm going to move my body. I'm going to sway. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to say hallelujah in church. Even when people are uncomfortable with it. Because I realize something. You may be uncomfortable. You may feel that it's a little strange, but I've read my Bible and I found that those that praise Him will see increase, and those that praise Him will see the blessing of God come upon their life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tells us what the will of God is. It says to give thanks to God in all things, for this is the will of God. Now, people are always searching, what's the will of God? What's the will of God? Oh, I wish I knew the will of God. Well, here it is. You ready? Praise Him. The will of God is to give thanks to the Lord. As a matter of fact, there it is. Thank God in everything. No matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Amen? It's the will of God. Can you look at a couple of people around you and say, it's the will of God? It's the will of God. Now, if it's God's will, how many want to do God's will? I shouldn't have to wait for a praise team to get my praise on. You know what? We're going to turn the tide on a praise team. We're going to come into the house of God and make them get their praise on. Amen? We're going to come in here so fired up, so ready, so hungry with the praise of God on our lips. All they've got to do is just hit one cymbal and play one chord and open up their mouth for one note, and the place will erupt with the praises of our King. Amen? Because it's the will of God. So when people look at you a little strange and think, why don't you hold that down? You turn to them and say, hey, it's the will of God that I praise the Lord. You know, well, we don't do that kind of praise here. Well, I'm sorry, you better read the Bible, because it says it's the will of God. But watch this. Hebrews chapter 10. This is a powerful verse, 35 and 36, talking about not throwing away your confidence because it has great reward. But then he goes on to say this. After you have done the will of God, so you need of endurance, so that if you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Okay, let me stop. What's the will of God? Give thanks and praise Him. Now we're finding out that endurance means that when you're going through struggles, when you're going through hard times, that's not the time to put grumbling and complaining in your mouth, but that's the time to keep on praising Him. Even when the tears are falling on your face, even when the circumstances don't seem to encourage all kinds of thanksgiving to the Lord, you don't walk by sight anyway, you walk by faith. But watch what happens. You endure when you praise. And when you praise, it says, after you have done the will of God. In other words, the will of God is to praise Him. After I've done the will of God, I shall what? Receive the promises of God. Therefore, I know that the promises of God are yea and amen to them that believe. And people that believe are people that will praise. People that believe are people that will lift up their voice in thanksgiving unto God for all things. I don't have to have everything going right to get my praise on. It's a little easier when I have everything going right. But I know enough. I've come far enough in the kingdom of God that I recognize that when the devil is trying to press me on every side, I'm living in the just before. How many know what I'm talking about? I talked about that yesterday. I'm living in the just before God releases His glory. I know that the devil is trying to discourage me and get me to displease the Lord. Because the Bible says those that murmur and complain displease the Lord. But the Bible says those that praise Him bring pleasing thoughts to the Father. But watch this. Not only do I do the will of God and I receive the promises of God, but I also establish the throne of God. A canopy of His authority. So I have to go to church where somebody praises the Lord. I don't know what's happened to all the praising grandmothers we used to have in church. I remember when I was a younger preacher, we'd have some praising grandmothers in the church. You know, they'd get up out of their seat real slow. But don't let that fool you, you know. They'd get up out of their chair and they'd just kind of get up real slow. And they kind of straighten out themselves and walk up to the front of the altar. And every step they take, they got more limber and they got more loosed up. And before you know it, they were shouting and praising and kicking and bucking. I don't know what happened to the praising grandmothers. I don't know what happened to all the praising children. I remember when my children, we were in church, they were just little girls. As soon as worship began, they would run to the front of the altar. And there they would dance and twirl around and praise God and take their shoes off and jump up and down. I thought, whatever happened to all the little praising children in church? Now, I watched some secular concerts and I noticed... Did you ever see American Idol on television? I don't know. Do they pay those people up in the front to do this the whole hour? That's a long time. Do you ever see they're up there? They're like this the whole time. I said, God, if I have to pay them, give me the money to pay them. But I wish I had some praisers in church that the whole time, from the first note that's played, people have their hands in the air and they're just acting like they're liking it. Because I got to tell you, there's been some places I go, people are praising the Lord, and it's like they're in pain. They're like, oh, God, I can't do this. He wants us to stand again. You go to some concerts, dude, there's no chairs in the concert hall. You walk in, say, where's the chairs? They don't have chairs here. You stand the whole time. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about the authority of God. When you and I praise Him, we establish the authority of God. And when I come to church, you may not have any problems. You may not have any desperation in your life right now. And that's great. And I praise the Lord for that. But I may have it. I may have some trouble in my household. I may have a daughter like Beverly had. And she comes into church with tears in her eyes and a praise in her mouth. I may come like Ernestine, who just lost her only son, who today has got a heavy heart and lost that one that she had given birth to. I may be in church today and I just got a doctor's report that said I've got an incurable disease, inoperable disease. And so when I come into the house, excuse me, please, but I need the authority of God to be established in this house. Because where God's authority is, He can declare and He can decree. He can say to my sorrow, be lifted and put on the garment of praise. He can say to that sickness and disease, skin, come back to normal. Hallelujah. Where God's authority is established. So if we really believe Psalms 22 and 3, then why are we coming to church late? Did I just say that? That was me. I said that. Well, they're just singing anyway. We'll get there for the preaching. Listen, if you really believed in praise, you'd be here early. You'd be here during the prayer time, intercession time, creating a throne room for the God of all kings and the Lord of all lords to inhabit this room so that when the people of God got here, they walk into the very authority of God. Now, I made that kind of statement in Lorraine and I didn't get too many amens. And I told them this. I said, well, we'll see what the other church thinks about it. It's amazing what we can do to be on time when we want to be on time. Now, I asked somebody this the other day. They said, we're having trouble. We got to church late. I said, honey, we start at noon. How could you be late for noon? I mean, I could see you could be late for 8, but noon? What you doing all morning? I mean, by noon, you ought to be able to, I mean, I'd be out running, eating breakfast, read the paper, you know, do my computer stuff, read my Bible, walk around going, is it time yet? I mean, that's a lot of time. Noon? Look at somebody say, noon? Come on. You got to be here, honey. You got to get here on time. Why? Because I need your praise. I need your praise. I need your praise. But I don't feel like praising. Don't make me slap you. You know, I get a spirit of slap on me once in a while. I do. It's dangerous when that happens. It's dangerous. But it establishes the throne. I never slapped anyone in my life. I'm just kidding. Marlon, I'm kidding. That's a joke. It's a joke. Not that I didn't want to. But I want you to see Psalm 138. This is a powerful chapter, or actually book. It's a powerful book because it talks about the reasons why we ought to praise God. And if you look at Psalm 38 in verse 1, he's talking about establishing the divine order in the heavenlies. He says, I'm going to praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. You know, that really resonates in my spirit. Before the gods, I'm going to praise you. The God of poverty. The God of lack. The God of sickness. The God of alcoholism. The God of money. Oh, God. I love that verse. Before all the gods of the earth, I'm going to praise you. In other words, I'm going to establish divine authority in this place. I'm not praising money. I'm not praising alcohol. I'm not praising lust. I'm not praising sickness and disease. I'm not praising weakness. No, no, no. I've come here to praise one and one only. And his name is Jesus. Amen. Did you come to really praise the Lord? Amen. I like it when people come up and traditionally, before they do anything, they'll say, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, saints. We say, praise the Lord. But do we really praise him? Or is it just a greeting like, hey, what's up? Instead of saying, sup, we say, praise the Lord. Now, if you really wanted me to praise the Lord and you encouraged me to praise the Lord, you may not be able to sing your song. You may not be able to preach because God's been good to me. God has been wonderful to me. God has saved me out of my sin. God has given me life. Ooh, he has blessed me. Has he blessed you? He tells us in Psalm 138, when you praise the Lord, you establish divine order in the heavenlies. And then in verse 3, I like this. He said, in the day that I prayed, you answered me. In the day that I cried out, you answered me. I like that. 24-hour turnaround time. The very day that I've called on you, you've already answered. Why? Because I'm a praiser. Praisers get first choice. Praisers, oh yes they do. Praisers get God's attention. And so when I say, hey God, psst, psst, hey, I need you. He goes, check out and see if he's a praiser. Well, he's not a praiser, sir. All right, put him behind those three praisers. I'll get to him when I get a moment. Now, I kind of added that in that psalm. That's not really in there. But I felt that when I read that verse, you know. And he says he's going to strengthen you. You know, when I come back from a Holy Ghost praise service, I feel like I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. You ever feel that way? It's like, give me a devil to cast out or something, man. You know, do you ever feel that way? I mean, Daddy was singing up there. I'm like, yeah, give me a Goliath or something. You know, you just feel like you can whoop on the devil, don't you? It strengthens you. It strengthens you. So you want to begin to continue to praise God and establish divine order in your life and in the heavenlies. See, divine order has to be established in Cleveland. And the way it's going to be established, if God can find a praising church, not just a singing church, a praising church. A praising church is a people that doesn't have to have everything right, doesn't have to have all the circumstances in order. They're the people that know that when they praise God, divine order in the heavenlies established. And God gives special focus to them. He told us in verse 4 of that chapter of 138, he said, all the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. See, those that are in authority, when they hear the sound of praise, they begin to bow in reverence to the kingdom of God. We've got to send out praisers out into the city. We've got to raise up praising groups of 6, 8, 10 people that all you do is get a boombox, stand on the corner of wherever and wherever, and begin to praise God out of your spirit. You say, well, what good is that going to do? It will cause kings to praise. I love the story of the homeless tour in Washington, D.C. when these young men and women were on the steps of the Supreme Court and they were worshiping God. If you didn't check it out yet, get on the website, go to Studio 7 and check out the video of that. They were just playing guitars and praising the Lord. And they were worshiping and tears were coming down their eyes because God's been good to them. But they didn't know there was a group of Muslim students that were not far from where they were praising. And if you look at that video, It actually shows these Muslim students coming over to them to ask them who they were, what they were doing, and if they could join them. And the one young man said, "This other member of our team heard you singing, and their heart was drawn to the voices." And if you look at the video, it shows our team worshiping and all the Muslim students lifting their hands, worshiping with them. I'm telling you, true praisers will cause all the kings of the earth to hear the voice of God. Oh, God, give us some praisers here on the east side. Give us some people who would be willing to take a Saturday afternoon and get in a van and just go to strategic places where God calls us. Lift up your voices to praise to the Lord and establish divine order in the heavenlies and cause the kings of the earth to hear the voice of our God. Amen? That's what Psalm 138 declares. I love this because he says in verse 7, "He will revive me." In verse 8, he said, "He will perfect me or complete me." That's why I praise the Lord. I love Psalm 146 and verse 7b through 10, because guilt and bondage are broken and the eyes of my understanding are opened when I praise him. He says, "Who executes justice for the oppressed? Who gives food to the hungry? The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners." Come on, let me see that next verse. "The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. And the Lord loves the righteous." You see, when you begin to praise him, he began to watch his over strangers, relieves the fatherless and the widow, and the way of the wicked he turns upside down. I'm telling you, when praise goes forth on the earth, we have lost the praising church. Oh, we've got good singing. Don't get me wrong. We've got great singing. And not only here, but in a lot of churches, we've got the gospel charts off the chart. Everybody's going platinum. Everybody's going gold. Everybody's going professional. We've got some great singers, but give me some praisers. Give me some people who know how to touch the throne of God with their heartfelt gratitude and thanksgiving to the Lord. Because it will cause an eruption on the face of the earth. He raises those who are bowed down. You see, I love that in Luke 13 and 11. A woman whose circumstances bowed her down, who caused her to be bent over for 18 years. Church, if I come in bent over, don't send me out bent over. If I come in bent over and burdened, don't send me out bent over and burdened. My God, somebody lift me up. My God, somebody help me. Don't you see how I walked in here? And one word today from God can turn around and change the entire yesterday of your life. That woman for 18 years was bowed down. She was burdened over. And Jesus came and said, "Woman, thou art loosed." One now word from God. See, I've got to praise him. I've got to praise him, not just for me. Because I'm doing nice this morning. I'm doing fine. God's blessed me. I don't know. I have a problem in the world. But I know this. There's somebody in here who came over, bent over. And I refuse as a preacher to let people come in the church house, bent over and walk out the same way that they came in. You and I ought to be people who get a hold of the horns of the altar and say, "We refuse to allow one person oppressed of a demon spirit to walk out of here as oppressed the same way they came in. We refuse to allow sickness to be the Lord over somebody's life. We'll praise him till we get a breakthrough." Woo! Woo! Text that to somebody. Praise him till you get a breakthrough. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. One word. He establishes the believer in God authority. God awarded authority. When I praise him, I'm established in his authority. I like 1 Samuel 10. You know, Saul was called by God for a high office. I declare over you, you've been called for a high office. You're not insignificant. You're not peons. You're not subservient. You realize who we're in church with? We are with kings and priests who are going to judge nations. Hello, sir. I recognize the royalty I'm under. And God spoke through the prophet Samuel. He said to Saul, he said, Saul, I got a job for you. I want you to be a king. But here's what you need to do. You need to go up that pathway, up that mountain, to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. Do you know where that's at, Saul? Oh, yeah, I know where that's at. I want you to go there because it's going to happen that when you come to that city, there's going to be a group of my prophets, a group of my praisers that are going to be coming down on that pathway. And not by themselves, but they're going to have tambourines and flutes, and they're going to have stringed instruments, and they're going to be singing and praising me. And then the Spirit of God that's on them is going to get on you. And when it gets on you, you're going to be turned into another man. Because the person you are now is not qualified to fulfill the calling of God that He has placed on your life. The calling is too high, too powerful to sit there and keep your mouth shut and never praise Him. You and I can't walk in this revelatory age of which God is calling the church until the prophetic is stirred up again in the church. I don't know what happened to the church. It's just like church is weird sometimes. Have you ever noticed that? It's like we want celebrities so bad, we make stars out of people. I think that's why the angel came and said, "Why stare ye into the stars? But go back to where Jesus told you in Acts, you know, when he said, quit looking up in the stars." We like to look at stars. People line up along the red carpet. Oh, Ben, woo! Oh my gosh, he looked at me. Oh, wow. I touched him, woo! He signed my shirt. Look, he signed my shirt. Are you kidding me? And we do that in the church. We say, the prophet has arrived. Make way for the prophets. And we bow down and we worship these men and worship these women. They come in with their entourage. And the ushers push everybody back. They say, watch out, make way for the prophet. Make way, get out of the way. Way for the prophet. And they come walking in. Thus saith the Lord. Let me tell you something, folks. That day is gone. That day is over. That day is over. Now they're still getting crowds. And they're still getting big offerings, but that day is over. Yes. Why? Because God wants you to prophesy. Yes. God wants me to speak the word of the Lord. God wants us to declare and decree to a generation. But the key to releasing the revelation of God's now agenda is praise. It was like 2 Kings, the prophet said, look, I got a word from God, but get me a musician here, please. 2 Kings, I think 3 or something, 15. He said, bring me a minstrel. There it is. Bring me a musician. Whew. I wish I was a musician. I mean, I'd be like one crazy musician. I think God didn't allow me to be a musician because I'd get a guitar. Can I touch your guitar? Okay. See, I know enough, you got to ask, man. You can't. Okay. I would get my guitar, and I would be like, in praise service, I wouldn't play up here. I'd be like, wow, 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 wow. I'd be like, in your face, man. I would. I'd be in your face. You know why? Because it said when he played. I know this is silly, but just bear with me. When the musician played, the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he began to prophesy. the word of the Lord. So if I was a musician, I'd make you praise him. I'd be like all over you, man. I'd be up on the chair, be dancing on a chair. Chuck Berry, you know. I don't know how Chuck Berry did his thing. I'd be like going crazy. Because the Bible says praisers get prophecies. Say that with me. Praisers get prophecies. It's time to prophesy. It's time to prophesy to this generation. It's time to call those things that are not as though they were. It's time to speak to our children and say, you will be powerful in God. It's time to declare to nations, and you shall be opened. You shall be saved. It's time to speak to a region. It's time to speak to people who have been dead in their sin and in their wickedness and say, you will live and not die, because I declare it out of my mouth, because I'm a praiser. Now, I know that's a bit radical, but it's all right, because it's not real early on Sunday morning. You're all awake now, right? And you know what happened in verse 9 through 10 in 1 Samuel? The power produced prophecy in Samuel. He wasn't a prophet. And they're like, look at Saul. He's prophesying. That's what God's going to say to us. I mean, I've had times where I've prophesied and I've declared things to people, but I can hardly wait to get my real prophecy on. I'm coming into it, and so are you. Because this is the age, this is the time when God wants to release it on the earth, but he can't do it without praisers. That's why we've got to praise the Lord. One word from God can change your life forever. One word from God will straighten you up from your bent condition. One word from God. I said, God, give us the words, Lord. Let it be poured out upon us, Father. So we see that how powerful this is when we have praise in our mouth. And then I believe praise will cause revival to come. I want revival so bad. I said, God, what can I do to get revival? God, what can I do? Can I get more radio ads? Can I preach more? God, what can I do? I just want to see people saved. I want to see people on fire for God. I want to see the devil get nervous every Sunday morning. You know what happens? You know what you guys do when you start playing these instruments? You cause demons over the embassy suites to start running every direction and thinking, Don't go over there at noon. Wait till 2. Then you can come back. Because I really believe that when you find a praising church, demon spirits get uncomfortable. They get dislodged. Hell breaks loose. When you find a praising group of people, something happens in the atmosphere that causes change. And I believe this afternoon we have to make a recommitment to becoming a praising people. Because you can't be a praising church without being a praising person. I've got to make a commitment as a pastor not to get too dignified. Take off my kingly robes. Get down to my linen garments. I twirl and dance and shout in the presence of God. I used to be a part of this group of people. I won't even call them what they are, but I was just a group of people. We'd come to these services, and everything was so dignified. Everybody's in suits, and there's nothing wrong with suits. I like suits, but, you know, they're in suits. If you see me in a suit, it's usually for one or two reasons. We're having a wedding, but we'd be in these suits, and the praise team would be trying to sing. We'd be all on the front row, be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all across the front. And we're standing there, and this is about the highest praise they would give. He deserves more than a half-mass praise. Get it up there. Come on. Come on. And I remember one time, I was so foolish. I was young and foolish. Now I'm old and foolish, but I was young and foolish. You know what I did? I'm in this kind of a meeting. It was real formal. And I felt like praising him. So I had a tambourine in my briefcase. We all walked in with briefcases, you know. Put our briefcases down, all Bible and our books and stuff. And I snuck in a tambourine. You remember that day? So I popped my little briefcase. Pulled out my tambourine. And went to play in my tambourine. And they're all looking. On the way out of church that day, I got scolded by a fellow pastor. I remember another time was in our church, just young and foolish. Had my presbyters or whatever they were, these heads of the denomination in. We were having a meeting. And we had this one lady in our church. She was, remember Rose? Rose was a praiser. And she didn't really care what you thought. But Rose sometimes praised like beyond, you know, even crazy praise acceptability. And so here was this brother, dignified as Brother Tossie, but he's not like that though. He's standing there, and Rose stands next to him. So we started to worship, and I thought, oh God, this is not going to go well. And so the music started playing, and Rose got her dance on. She got that Holy Ghost two-step going. She's praising the Lord. She's, come on, praise Him. Come on, praise Him. Come on. He's standing there. I'm on the other side of him going, Jesus, if you're ever going to rap to the church, do it right now. What happened to the praising church? What happened to the church that's happy that we're going to heaven? What happened? I know everything isn't exactly right, but what happened to being happy about heaven? A song of praise like Deborah. She got her song of praise on and took captivity captive. She released those who heard the song. And I love this in Psalm 27 and 6. It says that David, his victory was in his sacrifices of joy. Now we've softened the word joy. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Joy. We like joy. Joy's soft. Joy's easy. I can have joy and not be too extreme, not be too radical. Joy. But see, the translators made an error. That word joy is a Hebrew word. Now, I'm not a scholar. I just can read my concordance. And it means, it's tuura, tuura. And you know what it means? A war cry. So David's saying, I could put my sacrifices of war cry in his tabernacle. Now it's the same word, teruah, that they used in Joshua when the walls, thank you, came down flat and shouted. The word shout is teruah. Now I like tennis. You ever watch tennis? Tennis. I like people that can play tennis. I can't play, but I love to watch people that can play. And I was watching it the other day, and there was this girl playing. And she doesn't hit the ball back to you. If you hit the ball to her, she doesn't hit the ball back. She goes, wow! If I was on the other side, I'd drop the racket and say, whoa, whoa. Yes, you. Ha! Ha! I'm thinking, this woman's possessed, man. We're trying to play tennis here. What's going on? How many know what I'm talking about? You ever see that? It's like, whoa! She got her war cry on. See, I didn't come in here to church today just to get perspired, work up a sermon, and, you know, I came in here to see something happen in the Spirit. Did you? I mean, I want to see God be God. So get your war cry on. Get your war cry on. Come on. Woo! 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 Wow, man, you all are crazy. I think I came into the right church this morning. Because what happens when you get your war cry on, God sets up ambushments on your enemy. You don't even have to fight. God said, boy, I like that war cry. Watch this. And he sets up ambushments like he did in 2 Chronicles 20 with Jehoshaphat. He sent the praisers first. That's why we praise in church first. People say, how come you do the singing first until everybody gets there? No! It's to send Judah first. It's to establish ambushments. I love praisers. I love worshipers because they're making a way for me to get into the glory and the presence of a living God. And I'm almost done, so don't get nervous. Psalm 89:15. This has got to be my last verse. Psalm 89:15. Blessed are the people who know that joyful sound. The joyful sound. They know the joyful sound. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. You know what that joyful sound word is? Teruah. The war cry. Blessed are the people who know the sound of the war cry. I know I'm in the right church when I hear the war cry. Blessed, empowered to prosper are the people who know the sound and who know that it ain't the sound. Because I've been in some churches and I say, this ain't the sound. Blessed are the people who know the sound of the war cry. David knew the sound of the war cry. Watch this. I said it was the last verse, but I lied. Psalm 40, verse 3. He's put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. And many will see it and fear and trust in the Lord. You know how powerful that is? When I praise, I get people saved. You know how many times we've had a powerful praise service, and right there I get up as every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, you don't know if you go to heaven or hell. You don't know what will happen to you after you die. You can know today. The Bible says these things were written that you may know that you have eternal life. If you want heaven and not hell, raise your hand now in Jesus' name. Hands go up all over the room. Why? There wasn't a sermon preached because they heard the sound of praise. That's powerful. After you have done the will of God, you shall obtain the promises. I want to praise Him. And when I do, I know I'll obtain the promises of God. Purity. Prayer. And praise. Put those in your life as building blocks. And I promise you, power will be released all around you. God, your people. I'm persuaded of this. The reason why we can't get people to volunteer, because we have not walked into the day of His power. But the day of His power is on its way. And I believe there's going to be a groundswell of people that said, send me. Send me, send me. Like the prophet Isaiah, send me. I'm willing to go. I don't care. I don't fear. I have no hesitation. Send me, Lord. They will volunteer in the day of His power. Why don't you with me right now? Just fill your mouth with thanksgiving. Why don't you lift your hands with me? Can you stand on your feet and begin to give God the praise that He so deserves this morning? Blessing His name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I believe this morning, Father, you're about to release something in this room, God. Power that will follow praise. That we become, oh God, intimately acquainted with the war cry that you have birthed within our spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, the Bible talks about Jesus on the third day rose from the dead. A songwriter captured that truth and he said, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. Matthew 28 records an earthquake when Jesus came out of the tomb. And I believe that earthquake was his shout, his war cry. His return serve. Because the devil made a run at him. But he took that racket and he came out of that grave with power. I release you to power. Coming out of that tomb of darkness into power. I declare over your life, you're coming out of that weakness in power. You're coming out of that place of lack in power. You're coming out of that place of indecision in power. Power. Now, if you will, just bow your heads with me, because this is a moment where somebody's life is hanging in the balance between heaven and hell. Somebody's life. And we pray now that that person would say yes to God and no to this world. If you're here today, you say, "Preacher, I am not ready to serve God." You may be like a young woman I met yesterday who didn't really know about eternal life, but talked about being light in her soul and doing right on the earth. It's because nobody's ever told her. You may be here today and have never known that Christ, the Son of the living God, is your Savior. But today something's drawing you in your spirit, and you know that you cannot be denied. You cannot turn your back on Him, because He's real to you now. And you say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I want to give my life to Christ." If that's you, nobody looking around, but we're praying right now. You say, "Pray for me. I need that prayer." On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. Would you do it? One. Two. Now listen. You don't go to hell for nobody. Listen to me. God loves you and wants you to come to Him today. Are you ready? One, two, three. If that's you all over this room, anybody, you say, "Pastor, pray for me. I need Christ as my Savior and I want God in my life." If that's you, lift it up so I can see it. Hallelujah. Go ahead and say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." How many in here with me today would say, "Preacher, I'm going to sign up for praise school. I'm going back to get my education in praise. I'm going back to get my education in praise. I want to be a praiser." Huh? Is that what you want to do? Then let's take the next 60 seconds and do that right now. Come on, lift up your hands. Lift your voice. Let's worship Him.
We bring the sacrifice of praise
she did. Okay.
Into the house.
Altar ministers, come on.
Of the Lord.
Sing it, "I bring a sacrifice."
And we offer up to you.
Come on, bless it now.
The sacrifices of thanksgiving.
Oh,
and we offer up to you the sacrifices of God. Oh, I bring the sacrifice of praise.
If you're here this morning and you need prayer, I know it's afternoon now, but altar ministers, did you hear? Would you come, please, to the left and the right? And those that raised their hand for salvation, would you come now as well? Because there was someone that did. but you need prayer to break through, then let us agree with you. Before you go that way, come on this way. Find a place of power in that place of prayer, because God has something for your life. If you're visiting with us, thank you for coming to Church on the North Coast here at Embassy Suites. We're so delighted, and we hope that we get a chance to meet you. Remember that we are here for you. Our website has lots of information on it, churchonthenorthcoast.org. Or you can go to the table to get more information. And I do think we have like a reception or something, right? A greeting time or no? Do we after service? We do not. So I'll be here to greet you. And I'll shake your hand. But I want you to know this morning, live right, love everybody, pray hard. We'll see you next time right here as we offer up our sacrifices.